Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. Now here are your hosts, Pete LePage and Alex Zalvin.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Pete.
And that's our man in the booth, Jordan D.Y.
Jordan D.Y. Booth Man.
Oh, boy. This is this show today. No Justin.
No Boothman.
No Boothman. But we have a fill-in Boothman, Jordan D. White.
Yeah, I mean, that's a heck of a step up. I mean, an editor at Marvel.
From a homeless man
to who
lives in the theater to an editor at Marvel. It's a small step. Sorry, I'm just being mean. Thank you, Jordan, so much for doing the show.
Yeah.
James gets to go to... He's at the booth convention, right?
Yep.
He's the booth convention. Yeah.
He's looking at some new booths.
Yeah, checking them out, seeing how they are.
Yeah, there's a couple double wides he's going to check out.
Yeah. How do you... I know there was an issue with spacing of the booths at BoothCon.
Yeah.
Now, should I keep going with this?
Yeah, it's really great. Yeah.
Cool, I got to keep going with this. It's big.
Yeah, Booth Artist Alley was too far away from all the panels.
Yeah. They actually just made a big announcement. There's Booths versus Booths is coming out.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, Crisis on Infinite Booths. What else can we do? Come on.
Reboots!
Thank you, audience. This is why you guys pay to come see the show. Is you write our best bits. Guys, I'm very excited about the guest that we have on the show. He's been on a million times, but we're always excited to have him back.
Yeah,
he's working on two big projects right now. One is a comic that comes out tomorrow called Dead Man's Run. The other is a long-range project, a graphic novel from Marvel Comics called Doctor Strange Season 1. Let's welcome out, ladies and gentlemen, Greg Pak!
Yeah!
Hello, thank you, welcome. Greg Pak, everybody.
Hello.
So this is your 1 millionth appearance on the show.
Excuse me?
Your 1 millionth appearance.
Yes, exactly, my 1 millionth.
Yes, so congratulations. We didn't get you any balloons or anything.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
Just being here is enough of a pleasure.
That's definitely not true.
It's nice to see you with your beard back.
Well, yes, that was, I think the last time I was here, was I beardless?
You were beardless.
I was beardless.
I think you were, 2 weeks into the growth?
Yeah, it was something of a horrible shaving accident.
Yes, there was a terrible mishap. Never let another man touch your beard. That is the lesson. I went to a barber shop, and I was very relaxed, tired, and next thing I knew, he had cut off the top half of my mustache. So I looked.
Was he trying to give you a pencil thin mustache?
Yes, he was. He
nice.
Was he a barber from the 1920s?
He was, and he said, "It looks good. See."
What do you think about the Teapot Dome scandal?
Exactly. Yeah, wow. It was very strange.
Yeah.
And then I got onto my bicycle with a big front wheel and rode away.
You went home to your son, who was playing with one of those hoop stick things.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Cool. Small child.
But the haircut was only a nickel, right?
So, and it came with a big bag of candy.
That's how he gets you, that guy, that haircut guy. But since then, you've been really busy. You've been working on a lot of projects. First thing we should talk about is the comic that's coming out tomorrow is Dead Man's Run #1.
Yes, indeed. It's a jailbreak from hell, ladies and gentlemen. It is from Aspen Comics and Gail Ann Hurd's Valhalla. Gail Ann Hurd, the legendary producer of Aliens and the Walking Dead TV show. Her company is partnered with Aspen on this thing and me. I got a call from Ben Roberts over at Valhalla. He's a creative exec that I've talked to a number of times, and he called me up and he said, "Jailbreak from Hell," and I said, "Yes, please." And we just had been talking about it for a long time and developing it with Gail Ann Hurd and with the guys at Aspen, and then we're finally bringing it out into the world. There was a #0 issue that came out in October,
right?
But this is the #1, and it's the crazy story of a young cartographer who works for a prison, which happens to be, which is the worst maximum security prison in the country, or in the world, really, in the California desert, and it just happens to actually be hell.
And just happens.
Just happens. Just, you know, funny that. But it's the story of this guy having to go try to break his sister out of hell. His sister is the only innocent person in hell. And, he'll during the course of the story, he'll have to... put together a crazy crew of Monsters and Mad Men in order to break out, because who's down there but Monsters and Mad Men, right? But it's been a blast, and Tony Parker is doing the art, and we had some free copies that we gave out tonight. So
yeah, I hope everybody got one. They're on your way in there.
Yes, if you got one, I hope you enjoy it. And if you didn't get one, look over the shoulder of somebody who did.
Now, this isn't completely your idea. This was pitched to you to write?
Yeah, exactly.
Because when I was reading it, I was like, wow, Greg Pak's getting dark. This is creepy, man. This is a seriously creepy comic.
Yeah, it's funny because before I started writing comics, well, I made this a sci-fi movie, a robot movie, and then I'd written a bunch of screenplays. I come out of film. I was an independent filmmaker and also screenwriter, and so I'd written a number of horror screenplays, but I'd never had a chance to do anything like that in comics until now. This is sort of a It's really a supernatural action story, if you want to pick a genre. But yeah, it definitely has some of that, you know, I mean, we're dealing with hell here, so there's definitely some creep-tastic stuff in there.
Now, we've read the Zero issue and the number one issue, and it's kind of a different look at hell, I think.
Yeah, that was kind of...
How much research did you do on that?
Well, we visited several times. Just to, you know, because you just got to get there in person and kind of feel it, smell it, you know, touch it, taste it.
What does it taste like?
It, you know, it's surprisingly sweet. You know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's how they get you.
It. Yeah, that is how they, exactly.
Yeah.
Catch more flies. but no, I mean, I reread some Dante, and I actually did a lot of research into prisons, into actual prisons. Because the whole idea was that we wanted to make it feel as real as possible, so that when the fantastical elements come at you, they really have an impact. You know what I mean? Like, the more you believe the characters as real people and the circumstances is sort of, like, understandable and recognizable. And even just down to, like, you know, if the clothes look real, if the surroundings look real, if it looks like, you know, if there's texture and then when crazy stuff happens, it just, even on a subconscious level, it feels more, the stakes are higher. Mm-hmm. Which is why I'm really happy we got Tony Parker on art, because he knows how to draw, you know, he knows how to draw folds in clothes, and he also, you know, somebody actually had done a review of an advanced review of the number one issue and pointed out that, you know, Tony draws everybody differently. You know, we've got a bunch of different people in the book, and they all have different body types and different, you know, a different feel and a look, because, you know, you look around a room, everybody looks a little different, and that's part of it. Yeah, how about that?
One other thing just to kind of talk about, and this is, I'm going to try to talk about this without really spoiling anything that goes on in the book, but the main character being a cartographer, he kind of ends up getting involved in trying to create a map of hell. Is that cool to say?
Yeah, that's cool to say.
Yeah. So did you have to draw a map of hell?
I left that to Tony.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But do you have somewhere in your house, you have a map of hell?
The map of hell that I have to refer to is actually the same one you see in the actual book. It's the details are not all there. We're definitely learning more about it as we go along, but we definitely have, you know, we've been talking about the geography of the place, and I mean, it's one of the attractions of the book or the project was world building. You know what I mean? Like when you're a storyteller, I guess you.
If you could be more upset about that.
When you're a teller of tales, the chance to build a whole world is really, I mean, you know, you get that opportunity, you jump on it, you know, and the idea of kind of creating a new look at hell, you know, I mean, hell is a very attractive topic for writers because, you know, it's just so rife with, you know, with metaphor and also, once you talk about hell, you're talking about life and death. You're talking about moral choices, and you're talking about basically all the things that the most high stakes things in a person's life. You know what I mean? Just are encapsulated in that concept, one way or another. And so there's a whole. And the other thing that attracted me to it was the idea of trying to make it make sense in the real world. And there's this whole political system that we hint at and we'll explore later, which is also pretty fun.
Is that kind of exciting? I mean, be able to tackle hell like that is kind of crazy. That's a big thing. Like, what is my hell going to look like?
Your hell look like?
I'm glad you brought that up. It would be my fourth grade English class would be
hell. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Your whole fourth grade English class.
Yeah, just like my teacher, and then like I can, the whole class.
Because that's the last one you took, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was the worst class ever.
And, I'm so sorry.
Sometimes I still have nightmares about it.
Seriously?
Yep.
Wow.
I hated it that much.
Why? Wow. Why? What's the... Give us a reason. What was...
I felt like the... I mean, this is kind of weird. I feel like this therapy...
No, it's okay. If you can't, if you can't feel safe
you're
in front of an audience of strangers in a comedy theater, where can you feel safe?
I felt like that class was rough for me because I felt like the English teacher would pick on me to like make points like of things not to do.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what would you say, and what would she correct you on?
It was a he, first off.
Okay.
And,
that's my bias.
It was like this is what not to do. Like, cause like I would get freaked out talking in class. Mm-hmm. He'd be like, okay, what do we think of the reading? And then he would be like, he would always go pee, you know, right out of the box. And I would like panic and be like,
you're ridiculous. We're about the same age, right, Pete?
Sure.
But we grew up in pretty different places, right?
Yep.
It's weird that you mention that because I remember in my fourth grade English class, the English teacher would always say, whatever you do, don't LePage. So I don't know if that's related.
Yeah, it probably is.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Yep. Well, thank you.
Yep.
I never LePaged.
Well, I'm glad that you could learn from my failure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was. That would be my hell. If I was going to draw hell, that's what it looked like.
Do you think you could work that into Dead Man's Run?
I'm thinking about it. We got some creepy kids in there, you know. Yeah. So
I did like how it was funny to me that even in hell, people were like, "Hey, new fish, fresh fish," you know. I was like, "Wow, really keeping the prison lingo in hell." It's pretty cool.
You know, they still talk like that down there.
Yeah.
Visiting in person really.
This
really
is a little bit of a sidetrack. Did you watch Alcatraz last night?
I did not.
Okay, which is also set in a prison with like supernatural.
Yeah, problems. I saw you mention on Twitter that it is indeed set in Alcatraz.
Yes, it is.
It's the name.
Yeah, I actually liked it. It was really stupid but kind of fun. But every 5 minutes, no exaggeration in the show, they mention that it's set in Alcatraz. If they don't have a Chiron at the bottom of the screen which has a shot of Alcatraz that says Alcatraz. So you don't forget it's Alcatraz. The cliffhanger before every commercial is like, wait, where are we? Oh, my God, we're in Alcatraz. Which is, you know, not that surprising after a while.
That makes me so angry when stuff like that happens. It makes me want
That's
not...
my version of hell.
Yeah,
watching
just
Alcatraz.
Being reminded.
Finding out I'm at Alcatraz.
Wow.
On a tour. I just don't like information.
I just hate when people, when shows or movies just beat you with the same information. It's like, I get it.
Yeah, like talking about Alcatraz over and over and over again.
All right, now we're in hell.
Oh, yeah, we're in hell right now. Let's talk about some of your other projects. Actually, let's very quickly, Dead Man's Run, is it a limited series?
Or? Yes, it's 6 issues, 7 if you count the number 0, which doesn't add up mathematically, but in terms of physical objects, it makes sense. The issue number 1 comes out tomorrow. So tell the world, and hopefully I feel good about our keeping on schedule. Tony Parker is not only a great artist, but he is a speed demon. So knock on wood, this thing will come out monthly, and hope you enjoy it.
Awesome. The other big thing that you're working on is Doctor Strange season 1 with Emma Rios on art for Marvel. This is an original graphic novel.
Yep.
Could you talk about how you ended up on that and what's going on with that project right now?
Yeah, it's Marvel has this new initiative called Season 1, and it's a series of graphic novels that are kind of go back into the origins of these characters and find... They're not necessarily all origin stories, as I understand it, but they find some early point in these characters' history to tell a fresh story. They are in continuity. So they're real stories for they're real, man. they matter in terms of the wider Marvel universe. At the same time, they're designed to be awesome jump on points for anybody. Like if you are kind of heard about Doctor Strange, oh that's cool. What's something I can read? Well, pick up Doctor Strange season 1, and it's a great entry point. I'm really really excited about this book just because over the years I've always had a blast writing Doctor Strange. I've gotten to write him a number of times as a supporting character in the Hulk books. Worked on these Hulk stories for a bunch of years.
Amazing Hulk stories.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And Strange was one of those characters who has a long time history with the Hulk, and from time to time would come in, and I just love the, you know, I love the guy, and he was always a lot of fun to work with as a supporting character, and I always thought, you know, it would be really great to tell a, you know, to do a solo story with Strange. Strange is a hard nut to crack. He's one of those characters that everybody loves, but for whatever reason, it's kind of hard sometimes to find a hook that allows you to tell solo stories with him. And as I was working on this project, well, how I got the project is what you asked. I got a call from Marvel, and they said, hey, would you be interested in this? And I was like, wow, yes. Every once in a while, you know, the right project just shows up like that. Nah.
Leave me alone.
But it was great. So, I mean, pure luck, or you know, I was just fortunate. But what was particularly exciting for me about this is that the mandate allowed for me to tell the mandate of the season one thing allowed for me to tell just the kind of Strange story that I thought would be a lot of fun. The interesting thing I realized about Strange is that he's one of these characters whose origin almost completes him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like Strange starts off as a jerky surgeon. He's an arrogant jerk. He's a surgeon. He's like right. The greatest surgeon in the world, but he's a total
douchebag.
Yes, yeah, that's. He is not a nice guy, and there are all these, you know, little snippets of scenes where people are like, oh, well, you know, if you could only lend a few hours of your time to this research project, and he's like, speak to my, you know, like, unless you can afford my fees, you know, like he won't do things unless he's well paid for them. He has a big comeuppance. He's in a car wreck, and his hands get smashed, and all the surgeons in the world can't fix his hands, so he can never do surgery again. Then he goes off to find the Ancient One in Tibet, and in order to get his hands healed, but through a series of things, he instead becomes an apprentice and becomes the master of mystic arts and ultimately the Sorcerer Supreme. Right. Yeah. So it's like he has his come
it
up.
It really
and
sounds
he,
like yeah he.
Yes. Yeah. Oh yes. Exactly. Yes. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Master of mystic arts is separate. He was actually the master of the black arts, master of black magic
in
the beginning. Yes.
Yeah, what did he get his PhD in?
I think pottery.
Nice.
But the story. But so in that origin story, and just that, you know, like 12-page story, he kind of finishes. You know, he starts off as a jerk and he becomes a great magician. But the interesting part for me is that training point after he decides to start to train and before he becomes great, you know, when he's basically still the same jerk, you know, but he's trying to be better. That's the real interesting point for me, and that's exactly where we're setting the story. So
now you're kind of like the king of origin stories a little bit.
It's, you know, it's
is
it's,
that an official
it, yeah,
title?
It is.
Is that a
it is.
Your I, landed gentry?
Yes,
is that how it works? Yeah. I don't know if that's correct.
No, for whatever reason, I've been lucky enough to stumble across a few different kinds of stories like that at Marvel. I think it started with Magneto Testament.
Yeah, The
Red Skull too. I mean, it's doing this book also, even though it's a totally different tone from Testament Red Skull.
So.
Yeah, the process is very similar though. It's kind of like looking at those origins and finding that sweet spot, that place to tell, that place to open it up and delve into it. Magneto Testament and Red Skull Incarnate were origin stories for Magneto and Red Skull, respectively, that took place during that, during the rise of the Nazis and in the case of the Red Skull and the Holocaust in the case of Magneto and told the stories of these boys coming of age, and we really tried to make them as historically accurate as possible while also remaining true to Marvel continuity as much as possible. Those were just amazing things to work on. But yeah, so Strange is a kind of similar thing, looking at that early, although there are no World War II references.
You lost one copy, sir. I'm curious, actually, just before we move on to talk about this format. You know, there's been a lot of talk about it online, I think, in particular, back and forth about should original graphic novels work? Are they important? Should things be online first? Is it going to be serialized online first? Do you have any update about that, how that's going to work with the publishing plan?
No, I don't. I don't have any update about the exact release plans. I do, you know, I know that they are, you know, designed to be books. Whether they are, you know, what happens along the way, I don't know. I'm just, you know. So, yeah, I don't have any more I don't have anything more intelligent to say about it. I do think that what I do like, though, I mean, I love the fact that there is this concerted effort to reach new readers, you know what I mean, and to create standalone books that can hook folks. I mean, I've had a chance to do this a few times, not as part of the season one project, but just with other books. Planet Hulk was probably the first book that I did like that, which really had a very clear beginning that was incredibly easy for new readers to jump on board with. And I just think that's hugely valuable to be able to do books like that, because, I mean, I remember as a kid being really interested in the X-Men, but there were like 12 X-Men books, and I had no idea where to start. And, you know, I'd pick up a book, and I would be completely
part
lost.
Part one of the Phalanx Covenant. Yeah. That's where you start.
you know, I mean, that is the ongoing challenge with comics, is to find those entry points, while at the same time telling stories that longtime fans can also sink their teeth into. And I this will be a, if you've ever been interested in Strange, if you've had fun with Strange, I think this will be a story you'll have a lot of fun with. We're going to do things like, you know, see Strange and Wong together for the first time. And it's, I mean, in a lot of ways, this is a crazy buddy story between these two guys at a very early stage in their lives. And there's just a lot of fun little bits and pieces that we're going to play with there.
Very cool. Last thing I want to talk about, you're working on a crazy project right now. You are writing an entire novel on Twitter.
That is indeed my crazy little side project.
Is it all about your sandwiches? You're eating.
Yes, it is. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Twitter joke. Yes.
Yes. Exactly. Thanks.
Sorry. Just speaking my thought process out loud here. I have had these ideas over the years for stories that really wanted to be prose. Writing for comics being what it is, I always have crazy deadlines. I'm always on. I've got something to do right now. And it's very hard to section out that time. And to sit down and actually, you know, even just psychologically prepare yourself for the monumental thought of starting your first novel, right? But at a certain point, I realized, you know what? I'm screwing around on Twitter late at night. It's like, why don't I try to channel this time waster into something productive? It just occurred to me, why don't I try to write this novel on Twitter? I think Twitter's really interesting. I think there's been a lot of kind of storytelling that's been done on there. And, I mean, we've played around with that with having a Amadeus Cho, which is a character that I created for Marvel, has his Twitter account. And when we were doing big storylines with him, he'd be on there joking around with other people and stuff. And so there's this kind of metafiction thing going on.
For this, though, is each sentence only 140 characters long?
No. Okay. So I'll just, you know, I'll start a sentence and then I'll, you know, fill up the tweet and then continue it in the next tweet and stuff. It's probably very hard to follow along with. It's probably very hard to read on Twitter itself unless you're literally reading it while it's happening.
Is that because you're replacing one word in every sentence with duck?
Yes.
Twitter joke, just the format.
So what I've been doing is compiling it, you know, and then posting it on my blog, once a chunk is done, to make it easy to read there too. But it's, you know, it's just a way to kick myself in the butt to actually write, you know. I've had this idea. There's this crazy idea for this book that I've had, and I've just been rolling it around in my head for a long time, for a couple of years now, actually. And so I kind of know the beginning, middle, and end in broad strokes, and why not just start banging out the first draft? I mean, I do this fully knowing that it's going to be kind of bad because it's a first draft. All first drafts are terrible, right?
And so. You're putting your first draft out there.
Yeah, yeah, but it's
for
like,
ridicule.
But if I don't do it, it's not.
Are you
happen,
ridiculing
so.
It?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying.
You're
it
not
could
even
be.
On Twitter.
I'm not.
So you can't ridicule it.
No, I can't.
Oh, okay, you should though. You should get on Twitter and ridicule it.
You know, I have. I don't.
Oh
know.
Yeah, you remain.
I'm anti-tweeting.
Why?
I just feel like it drives me nuts how much people are sharing. You mean like, I had breakfast today. Let's talk about it. Really?
And I know. I've had some really good conversations about breakfast this morning.
I don't know, man. I'm kind
do
of...
Do you like eggs? I do, too. Hashtag, I do, too.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So your novel, though, it's at Greg's Novel. Is that right?
Yes, Greg's Novel. Because Greg's book was taken.
Whoa.
Seriously.
Is Greg's book, is that guy writing a Twitter novelty?
No, he's doing something else. I can't remember what it is now, but it was a little weird.
About breakfasts.
Yes, yes.
Cool.
No, so yeah, Greg's novel, that's what it is. Eventually I'll change it because you can change your handle when I figure out what the title of the novel is, but I don't know what the title is yet. Titles are hard.
Yeah.
How about Shit My Greg Says?
Yeah, that's yeah.
Well, all right.
Fit, yeah, if it was a video.
Yeah. Okay.
Shit, right, that shit says.
On. Guys, let's move on with our next section, which we like to call The Stack. All right. If it is your first time at the show, The Stack, we've each made a pick. Actually, today, because Justin isn't here, we made multiple picks.
Oh, that's
picks
right. Each. Justin isn't here.
Yeah, that's why things are all so pleasant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's
not
true,
a lot
though.
Of talking over each other.
Yeah, not at all.
No, you talk first.
Please.
No, I insist.
All right, I'll introduce The Stack.
Thank you.
So we each made two picks. We'll start off with one of Pete's picks, which is Wolverine 300
yeah!
from Marvel Comics. Pete, what did you like about the...
nobody was with me on that? Oh, man. This is a fantastic comic and also starts off in such an amazing way. What's great about this is it's kind of a landmark issue, and I feel like what an amazing opening for
kind
such
of.
A...
Kind of. Not really...
I think it's an achievement.
All right.
In comics.
Yeah.
When a comic reaches
the They made it all the way to a fake 300.
Yep. It's not legitimate 300, but I'll take it. Yeah. But yeah, I think this is an amazing opening, and I was completely on board from there on.
Yeah, I actually love this book, too. Jason Aaron has been writing the crap out of Wolverine. This issue, he heads to Japan and ends up in the middle of a gang war because that's what happens when Wolverine goes to Japan.
Yep.
Pretty much every time. But
every
it's totally
time.
Fun. I saw you last week when I was reading the book. I started reading everything digitally, and I was reading it on my iPad. And I told Pete, I saw him right after this had happened. I was reading the book. I got to this page where... one of the gang members shouts, "Sky Yakuza, go!" And there's just these Yakuza jumping out of the sky with parachutes, and my iPad shut down because it ran out of battery.
Oh.
I was like, no!
Yeah.
So I charged it for a while and kept reading it because that's what you could do, and it was okay. But this book is great. It's jam-packed with action. There's some big reveals. There's Wolverine's best villain. Actually, best villains are back. Silver Samurai and, spoiler, Sabretooth is also back as well, though it's kind of unexplained. We're going to find out later what's going on with him. But I have to say, I really miss Sabretooth. There's...
What?
Well, I miss Sabretooth because there is nobody except Sabretooth that can actually challenge Wolverine. Everybody else is, all right, I'm going to take down Wolverine, plug some thrill of a million bullets, stick a bazooka down his mouth, blow him up, and then he's like, eh, I'm going to pop the third claw on you. And that's pretty much all that happens.
Wow.
But Sabretooth can actually take him down. There's actually a challenge for Wolverine, and I really like that.
I don't know about that statement you just said. but I also want to... I'm a sucker for the collection of covers. I love that.
Yeah,
it's cool. Just such a fun kind of like, oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was a good time.
Would you like it if this issue was nothing but a collection of covers?
No, okay. I wouldn't. But
just checking.
Yeah. Tons of action, which is fantastic. Sabretooth back, man. You know, I mean, you knew that was coming, but yeah.
Man?
Yeah.
You are the biggest Wolverine fan I know, and you're just not into Sabretooth.
Well, I thought it was awesome when he cut his head off. I was like, yeah, eat it, Sabretooth.
But then he got his head. What is more awesome than getting your head cut off? Getting your head back.
Well, I guess if you're the guy who loses your head, sure.
Sure.
But if you're the guy doing the cutting, it's frustrating.
That's a really good point. all right, let's move on to one of my picks, which is a book out of Image Comics called Heart Number 3 by Blair Butler from Attack of the Show is the writer of this. This is actually her first book, and the art is by Kevin Mellon. It's a book... set in the world of mixed martial arts, which I'll tell you what, I could care less about. I really don't watch it. I don't follow it or anything like that. This series has really been growing on me over the three issues. It's showing this guy who desperately wants to be a mixed martial arts fighter. The first two issues are about how he builds up his rep. And this issue, which I thought was really cool and why it's one of my picks, it shows how he's probably not going to make it, which I think is really an interesting path to take with a book. Where it's not up, 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 and then I'm a success at the end. It's up to a certain point, and then you're not going to be
that
good. Yeah,
that was kind of frustrating for me. So I was like, oh, man, this guy blows. Why am I investing my time reading about this asshole? who sucks. I was like, oh my God, Blair Butler wrote this. You know, oh man, let's see what her writing style is going to be. I was very interested, and then I was really surprised. Like, it's about a MMA fighter. Like that, I did not see that coming.
Would you have wanted it to be a comic book about a comic book reviewer?
No, no, I wouldn't have.
But because
I
thought, that would be really exciting if anybody wants to.
I would just feel like you could write about anything, and that's what you're starting with. I was surprised. I was surprised. But I love the black and white style. I think that's a great kind of choice for the story. I thought it was really cool art. And, like, yeah, it just kind of sets up this guy as, like, a super douche. And then not only is he a super douche who has, like, the neck tattoo to show how douche he is, he then blows. And it's like, what?
Does he get beat down, and are you satisfied to see him get beat down, though? I mean, maybe that's the pleasure.
Oh, yeah, I guess maybe that's some of the pleasure. Yeah, I didn't pick up on that. I was just more...
I think that's a cover quote right there. Yeah. He's a super douche who blows. Heart.
With a neck tattoo and everything.
Yeah.
I really like this. I think there's some really interesting character studies going on in the book. Yeah. Which
I was just glad they didn't fight his brother in that first fight.
Yeah.
Because that I saw coming a mile away. And
yeah,
I was
you have a brother.
Yeah, I do. I would love to fight him.
Yeah, mixed martial arts style.
Anyway, I would love to fight
him. All right, I'll see if I can make that happen. All right. Let's move on with one of Pete's other picks, which is Batwoman, number 5.
All right, finally, you guys are behind me on one.
There we go. Talk about this book a little bit, Pete.
This is amazing art, amazing storytelling. It gels in such a magical, cool way. So awesome. And it's funny because Batman does a cameo in this book, and I'm like, get the fuck out of here. You're not needed. This is so perfect. Don't ruin this for me, Batman. This just continues to kick serious ass. It's dark. It's artistic. It's so different from a lot of the superhero books. It's really amazing.
Now, Greg, have you been reading this book at all?
I have not. You know,
get on board.
It's enough already, Greg.
I'm looking at it, and I am definitely tempted. J.H. Williams, I think, did the covers to my first Marvel book ever, Warlock book way back in the day.
The art is gorgeous. The structure of the panels is gorgeous. And the story is really good, too.
It seems like it's done with time and care. I mean, the panels, it all works so well.
Yeah, this particular issue is concluding an arc, so it's not necessarily the best jump-on point. I think if you did want to jump on, probably start with the next issue. But there's a really interesting tone here. It's very different. The Batwoman is kind of militaristic in a way.
I like the way you said the Batwoman.
The Batwoman.
The Batwoman.
The Batwoman.
Impressive.
Yeah. That was a mistake, but I'm glad you like that. she has a military background, so that's very different. And she also is dealing with supernatural threats, which also makes her very different from Batman, which is really interesting, too. Great book. Definitely pick it up. Last pick that was one of my picks was Severed, number 6 from Image Comics. Yeah, all right. A couple of people reading it. This is a book from Scott Snyder and another guy named Scott and possibly a third guy named Scott. And it's a horror book set during the Depression about this boy who's trying to find his father. And so it could be sort of like, hey, I'm getting on trains and going to find my dad.
I remember you guys fighting about this the last time I came.
Yeah. I'm still talking about it. Still like it. This series is terrifying. It's terrifying because there is a guy with fangs who has been slowly fattening this boy up for the kill while they've been on a journey together and wants to eat him.
You're so creepy, dude. Why do you love this book? It's an old creepy guy who, like, makes kids pudgy and then, like, lures them into the woods. Like, what? You're a dad. What are you doing with this book? You shouldn't be allowed anywhere near this book.
I mean, it's fair, but Pete, I just wanted to ask, are you ready? We're taking that trip into the woods this weekend.
I am not going.
Okay.
I am not going.
All right, no, I just wanted to check if you were ready.
No, I'm not. I've been losing weight.
All right, we'll have to wait for our trip into the woods.
Alex, are you familiar with the movie Parents?
Parents?
Yes, no, I would recommend it. I won't say anything.
Okay.
But based on your enjoyment of the book as you have described it.
I'm familiar with the NBC show Parenthood.
No. Parents are they similar? Starring Randy Quaid.
Ooh.
Look it up. I think it actually just hit Netflix. Yeah, there you go. Watch it.
Okay. You guys, I don't know what you guys think of me right now. Pete, you didn't like this book?
Yeah, you're right. I didn't like this book. What's the like about a kid who, you know, his, you know, friend turns on him? This creepy guy is driving him in a car talking about, hey, you're going to record music, kid. You're going to fulfill your dreams. Actually, I'm going to slowly murder you in the woods. Great book, Zalvin.
All right. Well, look, first of all, I didn't write it. Second of all, it's tough to find, I think, really good horror in comic books. Just, we've talked about this with Lock and Key before, because I think Lock and Key is really good horror as well.
That it's a lighter
horror. The pacing
horror.
Of panels, the way that you read a comic book, it's difficult to ape the way that you do scares in a movie. I think it's just tough to do that, the way that you do it on a comic book page. Lock and Key does it really well, and Severed does it really well as well.
You're creepy.
Cool. And I think that's it for the stack. All right, guys, we are going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to bring out Jordan D. White. Hey, what's up, Jordan?
Well, what's up is, while I think it's evident in all the comics that I work on that I'm an amazing comic book editor.
Oh, absolutely. Deadpool, great comic book.
I am not quite as good at being Boothman because in the hectic pre-show area, we totally did not do questions.
Jordan, I just want to mention, you know how you come to the show pretty much every week,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, pretty much every week.
Right, and you know how I intro it, that it's my favorite section. Because they make it up.
Yeah, I do remember that.
All right.
But you know what? If you would like, I can walk out into the audience and speak to someone with their hand raised.
That is a great idea.
All right.
See, there we go.
That's my editorial problem.
You fixed it. Raise your hand if you want a question answered. Literally anything having to do with stuff we talked about today, anything geeky, anything like that.
Hey, this is actually for Greg. Yep. I'm curious just to hear you talk a bit about the correlation between film and now working in comics, just because I've kind of made a similar shift, and I'm really curious to hear general thoughts.
Cool. Yeah, no, that's a big question. I would say that, I mean, comics and film are very similar because they are both visual storytelling. So you see a lot of folks moving from one to the other, I think, because the language makes sense. You know, I mean, a lot of filmmakers basically draw comics when they're storyboarding their films or when they're thinking about how to put their films together. It was a really kind of smooth transition in a lot of ways, going from film to comics. The big twist, or one of the interesting things, was figuring out that, wow, film is really easy to do some things in film that takes a little more thinking and time in comics. You have to think a lot more about how you're telling the story visually when you're writing comics than you do when you're writing film. With film, you don't have to write it all out. You're not breaking it down shot by shot the way you are a comic book script. You're breaking it down panel by panel. And you have to think about how you're going to show movement over those panels. So there's a lot more... comics writing is actually harder in that respect. You know, I mean, it just requires... takes more time to kind of puzzle through all of that. That's one of the big things. So one other thing that I just think is kind of interesting is that in film, if I'm writing a feature screenplay, I want to make sure that in the first page, that there's some hook. You know what I mean? There's something unusual, something that's going to get you, because that's like the first minute of a movie, and you got to get something that hooks you in. And then by 5 minutes, you kind of have to have your first little resolution of something you've set up. You've got to, you know, have, oh, okay, now here's where we're going. You don't have to know everything, but there's another little hook, and then another one around 15 minutes, and then around half an hour. That's your first act, and you really. Now your character's really underway. You really know what the deal is. And so in movies, there's that kind of time that defines where those hooks happen. In comics, it's about pages. You know, at the end of that first page, you want to have a reason to turn the page. And you know, same at the end of the book, you want to have a reason to say, oh my God, I got to go pick up the next issue of this thing. So, it's the same kind of principles, but just the difference of the physical object. Or in the experience of consuming it, means that those hooks come at different points. So it's kind of fun figuring out how that works.
All right, very cool. Pete is going to bring you some free comics, and wow, we're going to get the next question.
May I comment on that just for one brief thing? To Greg's first point, I would say the most common most common difficulty that I see from people who are more familiar with screenwriting versus comic writing is about the whole thing of that the panels are still images. That it's so easy when you're talking about things in motion, like film, to just sort of go, oh, somebody rolls their eyes, turns around, and walks away. And it's like, well, you can't do all that in a panel of a comic book. You have to be like, there's a panel where they roll their eyes. There's a panel where they're walking. You know, you have to really break everything into still images that convey movement, like
and,
you said.
Yeah. And if you think really hard, you can figure out ways to do that
by,
you know, like having somebody rolling their eyes, facing the camera, the person they're walking away from is behind them. But then you end up, you know, you're describing a lot more stuff. You're putting more onto your artist to cram into a panel.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes that works really well. But if you do that all the time, if you're cramming a bajillion things into every panel, you can kind of drive your artist crazy. I've been very guilty of that over the years. I definitely have been trying to simplify. But yeah, it's an ongoing struggle.
Cool. Who would like to ask a question?
Who's got a question?
Oh,
anybody?
There's one over there.
Yeah, we got one over there. All right. Let's get this.
Hi. Since the first issue, zero issue of Dead Man's Run, I've been wondering, is Captain Romero a reference to zombie director George Merrill, or is it just a funny name you thought of?
Oh, it was, yeah, that's funny. Now, I had not, I hadn't made that direct link. I wanted a name that could be, I wanted to come up with a name so that if it ever gets made into a movie, either Edward James Olmos or Bruce Willis could end up playing the role. No, Romero is it's kind of a fun name because it could be Italian, it could be Latino, you know what I mean? It could be a number of different backgrounds, which just makes things flexible in kind of a fun way. So that, yeah, I mean, that was one of the reasons.
If you had to choose one, who would you choose? Edward James Olmos or Bruce Willis?
For that particular role, probably Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Although I love Edward James Olmos with every fiber of my being. I think he's an amazing actor. I love to work. Just this particular character probably is a bit more of a match for Bruce Willis. Not that this is really a conversation that I'm likely to have anytime soon in the real world, but yeah.
Well, we've got a surprise for you. They're both outside.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. All right, let's get some free comics to this guy, and let's get the next question. Anybody else?
Question.
Other questions?
Does Mike
literally
reach
anything.
Over there? Can you come over here?
Yeah, guy who's over there, you come over here. All right, let's get the question.
Hi, you guys talked about good jumping on points for comics, and I was just wondering what a good jumping on point, what good jumping on points that you guys have jumped on comics before that you haven't previously. Make sense of that question.
Well, Pete doesn't like jumping on comics because it makes a mess of them.
Yeah, you got bag and board and make sure you take care of your comics.
Yeah,
so don't ever jump on your comics.
This has been Dad Pun Hour. Anyway. What do you think are some good jumping on points? You know, something that I think we always talk about when somebody asks us on the show is it depends on what else you like or what else you're interested in that... There's no going to be one universal, well, you got to read this, and then you like comics. It's usually if there's a movie or a type of movie you like, if you are into horror movies, Severed is great. Or if you like going into the woods. If you like things in the woods, Severed is great. If you want to hang out in the woods.
Stop pushing that creepy comic, you
guys. No, I'm just saying, if anybody wants to go into the woods with me, just let me know, because Pete isn't coming, and I have an extra space in my tent.
Never follow him into the woods. I think what's great is some comics are kind of more geared towards one and done. Like Jonah Hex was great for that. There are certain comics. Yeah, you have to do a little bit of like digging to find out like what they're into, and then be like, oh, okay, we'll start with this or a little of that. But as far as recommending something for somebody, I always say Why the Last Man. But I don't know if there is a jumping on point that isn't at the beginning with that.
Well, it's the same thing with movies. If somebody's like, I want to get into movies, what movie do I watch first? Yeah. What would you say?
Ghostbusters.
Yeah. That was the right answer. That was the right answer. Greg, do you have any recommendations?
Yeah, I do. For superhero comics, I always recommend Batman Year One and Daredevil Born Again, Grant Morrison's X-Men run, Planet Hulk. There you go.
Yeah.
Dead Man's Run is a great place.
Yeah, great. Good jumping on point.
Anything I wrote.
Comics.
There was one other. I can't remember now. There was. I lost it. For other kinds of comics, yeah. I mean, and for other stuff, it just depends what people are interested in. I mean, stuff that I think is amazing includes the. Basically, I think every comic writer secretly hates Brian K. Vaughan because everything he touches is just amazing. You know what I mean? And he's worked with so many amazing artists, and you can basically pick up anything that he's done, and everything he's done has a great jumping on point. Runaways actually is a great kind of thing for folks. That's also a great entry-level superhero story. Just start from the beginning with Runaways.
Great book. Follow-up question. What's a good jumping-off point? Anybody? No? Okay.
Severed.
All right. Come on. Well, here's some free comics for you. Do we have any more questions?
We should. We have one more prize pack.
Yeah, we have one more prize pack with free comics. Question about literally anything.
Because you've worked like with Marvel for so long and had some great books out through them over the years, what makes you kind of like want to get back into some of this creator-owned type books or smaller press type thing? I'm not that Aspen's small, but it's different than Marvel, that's for sure.
Well, you know, it's all about, I mean, sometimes it's because I've met people who are just really fun and I would love to work with them. You know what I mean? I'd had a couple of meetings with Galen Hurd over the years, and I just think she's incredible. I think when I was much younger, I saw Aliens and it blew my mind, and then much later to meet the person who produced it and to talk to her and kind of understand how she works on a creative level is just tremendous. And any chance I would have to work with somebody like that, I would jump on. Same with the guys at Aspen, Frank and Vince and Peter at Aspen are folks that I've gotten to know over the years. And when this project came together, it just made sense. You know, it was a chance to work with a lot of great people. And then also, you know, that hook, that story idea was, I couldn't say no to it. You know, every once in a while somebody says something that just sticks in my head and I can't let go. I mean, it happened with Planet Hulk when Joe Quesada said Hulk, Battle Axe, Alien Planet, Gladiator. Of course I'm going to write that. It happened when Warren Simons said Magneto Year One, and I immediately knew what he was getting at with a Holocaust story. And this was similar, you know, hearing Jailbreak from Hell. That's just really meaty on a million different levels. So I think it's also because that was a chance to do a book that is different from the stuff I'd been doing at Marvel, you know, and any chance to do something different, I think, is important. You know what I mean? Both as an artist and as a writer and also just as a human being, you know what I mean? To have the chance to learn new things is always huge. I mean, that's why I jumped on those, was so eager to jump on the Magneto book and the Red Skull book, because those were totally different from the Hulk and Incredible Hercules books and stuff that I was writing at the time. You know, and I loved all that stuff, but here was a chance to do something where I would, you know, learn something that I didn't know about as well as I should, so.
All right, very cool. Yes, Jordan?
Well, that's the end of the audience questions, but I wasn't in the audience. I didn't get to ask a question. Can I ask a question?
Oh, yeah, sure. Jordan, go for it.
All right, well, Pete, as you know, the Hulk at one point was a gray Hulk, and he worked as a bouncer for a bunch of mob dudes, and the Punisher really doesn't like people who work with the mob. So if the Punisher goes after the Hulk, what happens?
Wow.
No. No, he doesn't. Punisher never gets his ass kicked.
Never?
Never.
He is running around in his comic right now with one eyeball.
Yeah, he's just down an eye.
Before that, he got chopped into pieces.
That never happened. That never happened.
And turned into a Frankenstein's monster.
Stop it! That never happened! Oh, Remender, you...
I'm pretty sure that happened.
No, it didn't.
Come into the woods, we'll discuss it.
Oh, man! No. Yeah. No, I mean, I would say the Hulk wins, but it'd be a hell of a battle. Hell of a battle.
Yeah, right.
Come on!
No.
Damn it.
You're wrong. Yeah. All right, thank you, Jordan!
Jordy White!
All right, and as a little added bonus, we actually have a little extra prize for you guys. There's going to be a screening at Lincoln Center next week called Johan Safar Draws from Memory. It's a new movie, a documentary about comic book artist Johan Safar, who's really awesome, does an amazing book called The Rabbi's Cat, among other things. And we have two tickets for you that we're going to give away. The person that's going to get it is the person that asked the best question according to Pete.
All right. Well, it's definitely not Jordan's question. I'm going to go with the jumping on point question. I thought it was really good.
All right, come see us after the show, and we will get your name and give you some tickets. And now it's time for our next section, which we call The Week in Geek. Yeah! Now here in The Week in Geek, we're going to slam through some quick pop culture topics.
Quickly.
First thing to talk about, we were actually talking about Walking Dead before the show, and they announced that The Walking Dead third season, which does not mean the new season that's continuing on February 12th, but the third season that's coming up probably in October gets 16 episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
So what are you looking forward to there? Are you excited? Have you been watching Walking Dead?
Yes, yes. There's every once, every 5, 10, 20 years, there's a TV show that I actually follow. When I was a kid, it was the Bill Bixby Incredible Hulk. Bill Bixby, Lou Ferrigno, Incredible Hulk. And then a number of years back was Battlestar Galactica. Now it's Walking Dead. You know, I just nice. Get, and I think it's amazing. I love
Didn't
the show.
Did you get into Cop Rock too much?
You know, Cop Rock is one of those shows that I've desperately wanted to watch ever since I heard about it because I missed it. But I'm a total sucker for musicals, and I loved Hill Street Blues. So it is right up my alley, and I wish there I could watch it.
It comes out in a lot of your writing.
Yeah.
It really
you know,
does.
It's, you know, every once in a while. Cop
Dead
has to
Man's
break
Run
into song.
Is like the Cop Rock of Jailbreaks from Hell.
Well, you know, we are talking with Julie Taymor. So
I
probably shouldn't have said that.
Oh,
I probably
man,
shouldn't have
spoiler.
Said that.
Yeah. Next little piece of news. Hack Slash, one of our favorite titles here, has been in development as a movie for a really long time.
Yeah.
We haven't heard any news on it, but some news came out this week. Marcus Nispel, who directed Conan the Barbarian, also Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Friday the 13th, and whatnot, has come on board as director of the film. Pete, you're a big fan of the title, big fan of people getting beaten up and barbarians and stuff. Do you think this is a good choice to direct Hack Slash?
Hell yeah! I mean, who better? That sounds like a great, great fit.
Yeah?
I'm excited. Yeah, I just hope with all that action base, we don't lose the humor that makes Hack Slash so great.
Yeah. Well, Conan the Barbarian was pretty funny, right?
Oh, man, that was hilarious.
Shrug.
There
we go. Let's move on to another little bit of movie news. So Joss Whedon was talking about the upcoming Avengers
Your
movie.
Your boyfriend, Joss.
Yes,
Whedon.
My boyfriend, Joss Whedon. He just doesn't know it.
Yeah.
He doesn't know it, but it's true.
He's way too into that guy.
Let's not talk about that.
Right? All right, sorry. I didn't mean to bring that up.
Right. We'll talk about it some other
time. Well, I just think that it's important that you
we'll talk about it.
Seriously, you should start putting these issues out there.
Can we talk about it after the show?
All right, fine. We'll talk about it after the show.
Joss Whedon, who's directing the Avengers movie, said that Steve Rogers, Captain America, is going to be the focus of the movie. He's going to be sort of the window character that's going to explain all the crazy things that's going on. Are you excited about that? Excited about a big budget? About finally having a big budget Captain America movie. I'm pretty
about
excited
time.
About
time.
Yeah.
You know, over the when they did the Marvel screenings for those movies back when, I was like, I missed both Captain America and Thor because I was working on different deadlines, and I finally saw those movies over the holidays, and I am insanely excited for the Avengers movies now. You know what I mean? I think they're building something really cool. And I don't just say that because I'm a company man. I believe it.
Yeah.
There's been rumors of a Doctor Strange movie. Do you feel like Doctor Strange Season 1 is in any way being used as a template for that movie?
I have no idea.
If they're smart, probably they'll
do that. Yes, if they are smart. It will become the basis for the movie. In fact, I will play Doctor Strange in the movie for a...
All right, we're going to break your hands after the show.
For $500.
Cool. So. Another little bit of movie news. I don't know if you know, there's a movie coming up called Chronicle by a director named Josh Trank, and it's basically a found footage movie like Blair Witch Project or Paranormal Activity, but about superheroes. So it's a bunch of regular dudes who get superpowers and become superpowered assholes. And he is actually in the front running now to reboot the Fantastic Four movie. So do you think this is a good idea? Do you think this is a good choice?
Yeah, I really think we should douche up the Fantastic Four. That'd be a great idea. That's been the problem with the movie since the beginning. They aren't douchey enough.
I will say, Chronicle looks awesome. I don't know if you've seen the first trailer for it. Looks great. It's one of the best trailers I've seen, ever.
Is that
really?
Like driving in a car and then some other... Is that the one that it was leaked like 3 months ago or something like that?
Yeah. They're driving a car and they just sort of... Guys kind of riding up behind them. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah,
and they
like
sort of were like... He gestures back, forces the car off the road with his telekinesis. Yeah. Looks good. I will say, I don't want to brag or anything, but I'm in a sketch comedy group, and we had a video a couple of years ago that was directed by Josh Trank.
Wow.
I never met him because I wasn't in that video.
Oh.
But I do think I'm the front runner for Invisible Woman, I'm just saying. I think that's
that would be
happen.
A horrible choice.
Now, here's another thing, another little bit of movie news that came out. Rob Liefeld casually mentioned at a convention that he has seen 8 minutes of Deadpool movie test footage that they did after X-Men Origins Wolverine. Pete, who are you going to kill to see this footage?
You.
I have no access to that footage.
Well, I'll kill you anyway.
I'm really sorry I brought this up.
Yeah.
Would you be looking forward to a Deadpool movie? What do you think, Greg?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Great. Thanks,
hopefully,
guys.
Daniel Way writes it.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Daniel Way would be your pick to write a Deadpool movie?
Yep.
All right, good. Last little thing to talk about. Garth Ennis, another favorite of yours, is going to be writing an ongoing The Shadow series for Dynamite, rebooting The Shadow for a new generation, kind of. Are you a fan of The Shadow? You seem like you might be.
I was a total sucker for the Shadow, the crazy Shadow book that Kyle Baker drew back in the day. That was there was a point when I had sort of fallen out of comics, and then I came back into it, and that was when I came back into it, and I tracked down all those issues. And so it was just crazy. I loved it. So yeah, I like The Shadow, and I'm sure I have no doubt that the Garth Ennis book will be completely different from that. But yeah. He's a great character. I'm sure he's going to do an amazing job.
There's The Shadow and The Phantom, and one was Alec Baldwin and one was Billy Zane. Which one?
Billy Zane was...
The Phantom.
The Phantom. So Alec Baldwin was The Shadow in a movie?
Yep.
Am I imagining that?
No, that happened.
Cool. Well, I hope this is like that.
Oh, that's a bad idea. But it's in good hands. Garth Ennis is... he knows his stuff.
All right. There you go. That's it for the Week in Geek.
Yeah,
we did it. Guys, we're going to move on to our next section, which is trivia, and for that, we're going to turn it over to Peter LePage.
All right. Guys, this is where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free? Simply first hand up, guy. Yeah. Come on down.
All right.
Can I? Yeah, sure. Let's give you this microphone. What's your name, sir?
Baldwin,
audience Baldwin. He loved you in The Shadow, by the way. Yeah. Cool Transformers t-shirt, by the way. All right, awesome. All right, moving on. How this works is I'm going to read you a question. You listen to all three possible answers, go 3 for 3, and you will get this gift card to Midtown Comics. I'll put that here to tantalize you with. All right. Today's trivia is on Dead Man's Run for no particular reason, just because we wanted to talk about it. Here we go. Thank you, Boothman, for giving me the theme music and then taking it away. No, it's still there. Okay. In Dead Man's Run, blank is a prison. Is it A, hell, B, heaven, which could have been fun, or C, New Jersey? So it's either hell or it's B.
Hell?
You're correct, sir. Nice job. Okay, question number 2. The main character has a sister. What is her name? Is it A, June, B, Juniper, or C, Joystick? You got that reference. That was awesome. All right. It's either A, which is incorrect, or it's B, Juniper.
B, Juniper.
Oh, my God. How is he getting this stuff? The comic hasn't even come out yet. He already knows. Okay. The main character is skilled in what? Is it A, making maps, B, making weapons, or C, eating matter? So it's either A or it's B. Don't pick B. Don't pick B. I'm using my mind. Don't pick B.
A?
A is correct! Oh, my God. $25 free. Congratulations, sir. Congratulations.
Unbelievable how you used your mind there, which is accurate, but not accurate for English class.
Oh, don't bring that up.
I'm sorry. It's true, though. You are using your mind to control your mouth to talk. Okay, all right, never mind. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they have been nice enough to sponsor the show.
Plus, they're a great shop.
And they're a great shop. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Oh, man, I'm looking forward to Batman, Scott Snyder.
Yeah.
Who is not the crappy author that does Severed. He's actually the amazing author that does
Batman. He's the same
Batman.
Guy. He's actually the same guy.
No, two different guys. Can't
now
be the same guy.
No, it's
nope,
the same
cannot
guy.
Be. That doesn't make sense in my mind.
All right.
And also Dead Man's Run, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to Daredevil number 8 is coming out tomorrow, which is the second of a two-parter with Amazing Spider-Man, written by Mark Waid, drawn by Emma Rios, who's doing the art on Doc Strange season 1, right?
Yeah.
It's Mark Waid, amazing writer, doing a fantastic job anyway with Daredevil.
This is one of your best books of 2001.
Absolutely. Daredevil, the first issue was one of my favorite single issues ever, and I thought, oh man, no way can this hold up quality-wise. It has held up quality-wise. And having Emma Rios on board, her art is just gorgeous from top to bottom. She does amazing, amazing stuff. So even if you didn't pick up the first part, which you should have, over an Amazing Spider-Man, pick up Daredevil number 8. That title is fantastic comics. Greg, what are you looking forward to?
I just noticed on the list that you handed me that this the John Carter book. Which I mean, I'm a sucker for the John Carter stuff, and I believe the last issue is coming out. So I may have to check that out.
Cool. And what should people check out from you?
Dead Man's Run.
Oh,
hey!
You know, okay. I had to scan the list and find it. Yes, Dead Man's Run, number 1. Please do. Oh, you know what? I forgot to mention. We gave out free copies of Vision Machine. That is a book that's distributed on a Creative Commons license, which means that you can run wild with it. You can remix it. You can do derivative work if you want. And to make it easy, we have uploaded a textless PDF. So if you go to visionmachine.net, you can download a PDF of the whole book without the word balloons, which makes it very easy to play with. So please
that's
do play
cool.
with it.
That's cool. So you can add your own words or whatever you want.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. You can you can go in there and tell you know have them all saying dirty limericks or doing whatever you want.
Great.
And as long as it's done non-commercially, it's free for your use.
Oh man, I really wanted to sell my dirty limerick version of Vision Machine. Now that's never gonna happen. Couple of things before we go. You can check us out at comicbookclublive.com, where we have podcasts and forum and plenty of other stuff. Next week on the show, we have two awesome guests. We have Danny Fingeroth, who is going to talk about his new book, The Stan Lee Universe, which is all about essentially Stan Lee creating comic books, is pretty much what it
is. Yeah, I've heard that he did that.
Yes, he did that.
Oh, wow.
So that should be pretty cool. Danny is very knowledgeable about that. We're also going to have Sam Bell, who's the director of Johann Svar Draws from Memory, so he's going to talk about that. Awesome. So it should be a pretty cool show. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah.
You excited, too?
I am excited.
Anything you want to talk about, Pete?
Yes, friend us on Facebook so you can hear all about our amazing guests. Also, go to YouTube/Comic Book Club, where we review comics. And I wanted to plug the Dare to Draw, which is February, Wednesday the 22nd at Mocha.
Yeah. And the other thing to mention, which we're pretty excited about, we mentioned this last episode, we're now on the Nerdist website, Nerdist.com, so you can also check out the podcast there every single week. So we're very thankful to them. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Greg for being on the show.
Yeah, Greg,
thank you, thank you, thank you.
We want to thank Jordan White for summing it on tech.
Yeah, Boothman.
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater in New York City. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, thank you.